Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week, we're revisiting an extremely popular show, one that is really, it's number one in our hearts. Top of the charts for a long time. Not really right now, but hey, we don't need to go into that again. We're going to talk about The Simpsons again. And you heard Homer. We have returning guests because last time we had TJ versus Jaden on the show, and Jaden managed to pull off an incredible upset, knowing the name of Ian, the overly tall gentleman.
That was crazy.
Who has a car that's small enough
you
that
you find something comical about my appearance.
Also, Muddy May Suggins was
and
one that
and Muddy May Suggins.
I couldn't believe I couldn't come up with that.
So, Jaden, welcome back to the show. Thanks for rejoining us to defend your title.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
How have you been? How's life treated you since last time we talked?
Well, I've got three nephews here right now, so it's a bit hectic on my end. You might hear them in the background right now. But otherwise, I'm enjoying a really relaxed schedule. We're still in summer break over here. And been working on a few independent Simpsons-related videos. Ooh. Recently, I did a parody of Pulp Fiction as Carl and Lenny.
Yes.
And coming up soon, there's going to be a parody of Joker with Krusty the Clown and Kent Brockman.
Oh, that'll be good.
Very exciting. Yeah, I'll track links down and I'll put them in the show notes for this. Quick question. Did all three of those nephews happen between the time that we talked last?
No.
Okay.
And I'm glad they didn't. Yeah,
they're not sudden nephews, which I mean that's the best kind.
That was the name of my old punk rock band, the Sudden Nephews.
God, that is a really good band name.
It's a good name.
Also, hey, how is summer? How what does summer feel like? Because here in Denver, it's 33 degrees and snowing, which is fucking crazy.
Man.
That's what it's doing today.
It's hellish over here.
Because you guys were in the 110s, right?
That's right. We're in triple digits. We only finally got down to like 90 something, or it says 90, but it feels like it's like 70 something outside. But it was like you go outside at 1 p.m. and it would look like it's 7 because the sky is so orange.
Yeah, everything's we've got big forest fires right around here too. So right before we cold snapped, it was all red sun and dark skies. Well, I hope they're able to get everything under control and you guys get some rain soon, because I think we're all praying for it at this point. You're going to be facing off against your previous foe, TJ. TJ, welcome back to the show.
Nate, I asked you to introduce me as Joker when I came, but
that's right. That's right. I'm sorry, sir. Hey, look, I apologize. You don't need to send me any more weird packages in the mail. Returning to the show is my dog has to bark. Fuck it. Come on.
Your dog is adorable though, so he can bark whenever it wants.
He's a sweetheart. Yes. Yeah, so returning to our show is the Joker.
Yes,
also known
returning,
as TJ. TJ, welcome back.
Returning loser, TJ. Hi. It's good to be back. Thank you for having me. I feel like we just did this yesterday, but like, you know, time now just doesn't exist anymore. Like, it could have been, like, yeah, I feel like in The Lighthouse, like how that, in that movie where they're like, how many, has it been like a week, 2 days, 3 months? Like, I don't know. Like, every day just seems exactly the same. So it's hard for me to gauge how long things have been.
It was the 13th day on the 13th month.
I think my favorite part of that movie, honestly, for you bringing that up, is the moment when I think Pattinson realizes that he missed the boat to leave.
Yeah.
And he missed it by like a week because he's just been laying around drinking so much.
He has no idea. Yeah.
I love that fucking movie. And an apt metaphor for our current existence of constant existential dread.
I'm waiting for some old man to turn into Poseidon and murder me, and then we'll be good to go.
Well, hey, Poseidon and Biden rhyme, so that's fingers crossed.
Dude, what if Biden was Poseidon? Listen here, Jack. I got a big whale, Jack. That'd be awesome. Dude, if that was his platform, he's like, I'm a literal Greek god, and Greek. And I'm the master of the seven seas. I'd be like, all right, he's gonna get my vote anyway, but I'd be enthusiastic about voting for him if he had a big trident with him all the time.
At least he'd have a plan for climate change at that rate too. Our third guest is brand new to the show, but lovingly, he has listened to the show before, and he is also one of TJ's co-hosts slash co-podcasters. I don't know. You guys are kind of all slash, hosts on that
slash,
show.
Yeah, co-host slash lover. Yeah.
Yeah.
Slash hater of all my opinions.
Well, not
most
all.
Of them. Fair
a
share.
Lot.
You're a quality contrarian on the show. Every show needs one. You know, you got to have it's somebody the, who's the, willing to step up.
Yeah, Alex,
it seems
our,
like the further we go, the more our opinions diverge.
It is. It has gotten that
from
way.
Each other.
Alec is our Armand White of the show.
well, yeah. Alec Aerith is here. Alec, welcome to the show. Thanks for being on.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So you have the unique sort of achievement of having watched all 31 seasons of The Simpsons over this last year. Is that pretty much it?
Oh, whenever Disney Plus actually dropped, so like November.
Yeah, so late 2019. Up until a month ago.
Yeah, I want to say in June, maybe the beginning of July. It was it was an endeavor, and it was not. It was almost like trudging through like 6 feet of snow at the end. But
yeah, I was gonna say
I started it, so I felt like I had to finish it.
I would hope that there was an anecdote where at the end you just emerged wearing nothing but a damp towel saying, I am the Lizard Queen. And just
something
kind
like
of
that,
shaking.
Something like that.
Well, yeah.
There was a lot of shaking, especially during seasons like 24 to 28.
Oof. Yeah, it's
I got
weird.
The brew shakes.
I'm actually like I'm working my way through it a little bit slowly too, and I think I'm around season 9, but I'm definitely sort of finding myself going, oh yeah, I remember this one. Oh, I remember that joke was good, but the rest of the show is kind of bothering me. So it's just gonna get worse, and yeah. I'm excited. I actually like
excited to torture yourself.
Yeah, well, and a lot of them I just haven't seen. I don't think I've watched really anything since maybe season 24. Anyway. So yeah, we're gonna play a game. We're gonna talk about The Simpsons again. So let's just get into it with the opening question, which each of you will get a chance at this. Start with Jaden. So Jaden, of all of Homer's many jobs, which is the one that you would most want to have, and why?
His job as Poochie, because he'd be a well-paid voice actor.
Hell yeah! Okay, yeah, great. even if your character got killed off after you tried to save them with a rousing and emotional speech,
he'll still have some sort of cultural relevancy on the show years later. I mean, they still show him now and then. So
that is
that's
true.
Something. Residuals matter.
Yeah,
and you could do like Comic Cons and stuff because you know how like right. you know. The guy that played Mike TV in Willy Wonka still gets Comic-Con and Nostalgia-Con bookings. So, yeah. The guy this that did Poochie's right. voice.
In the universe of the show, do you think Homer receives residuals for portraying Poochie?
You know
why
what?
Hasn't it's, that been an episode? Or has it?
Yeah. We've seen episodes no. where Poochie gets smacked by a car or something. And you hear, like, no! In the background.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But there's also the character, they have a character that looks like Dan Castellaneta on the show in the Angry Dad episode.
Oh,
he
yeah.
plays
yeah.
Angry Dad. So maybe they brought him in to do some does or something like that. I don't know.
Isn't that kind of the guy that looks like the we're going back to Winnipeg guy? Doesn't he kind of look like Dan Castellaneta too?
That's it.
Kind of. A little bit off. Winnipeg. He's a little bit more exaggerated.
Yeah, sure. Well, great. Good job. I like that. That's very it's very on brand to choose the Poochie VO role. TJ, which of Homer's jobs would you want to have most and why?
Is being a hippie a job?
Yeah, I'll count it.
like when he was hanging out with Zeff and Munchie and they were making their juice, and then Homer like screwed up their whole plant and then just like put a bunch of like psychedelic plants in their juice. I think I just want to be a dirty hippie because I liked Homer's whole vibe of just like wearing a dirty dog poncho and like freaking out squares with Uptown Girl as he's blaring it down the street. He's giving his invisible proclamation. The cosmic fool is giving you his intergalactic proclamation that school is closed. Like, that sounds like something I think, you know, at some point in my life, I will completely burn out and I will just be running around the street yelling nonsense. Like, it's in my, there's no way that's not going to happen to me. Like I already talk to myself, and it's really a very thin line that just has to just, you know, when you, if you've ever seen like a piece of string that's just about to snap, they do like the close up, like the threads are there. It's just very, it's threadbare is what it is. That's
yeah,
a good
just,
turn of
just
phrase.
Each individual strand is
so, yeah.
Pinging.
So I would like to be, I'd like to be a dirty hippie like Homer with encouraging women to let their armpit hair grow out, which is something I actually do approve of. Not approve sounds terrible, but I encourage, that's a much better way to phrase it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just let my flag fly.
Fleek frag fry.
Yeah, my fleek flag. And also just drink like, I don't know, like the Nantucket Nectar's the psilocybin or whatever.
Yeah, honestly, like who wouldn't pay for that juice? I'm surprised it's not already on sale here in Colorado because we've already got a bunch of shit.
The Simpsons are
locked down.
Oh, for real. The Simpsons are great at drug hallucinations. It's like a thing that they've done quite a bit. They're always good. That drug hallucination one is so great. Like when Ned, he goes from seeing the Pink Floyd hammers. I think there's one other thing he sees before that, but then it like turns into the Rolling Stones lips. It's like, it's so good.
And it's the most terrifying thing to Ned because they're Mick Jagger's lips.
Yeah, yeah. But we know we know that Ned is a 60s rock and roll fan because remember he wore his Beatle boots.
Oh, yeah.
The one day. So, and he also had that.
Yeah, he had the whole like chamber in his basement dedicated to the Beatles.
Exactly.
Oh, that's right. But he also had a
the Beatles branded the Beatles
about it.
The Beatles branded soft drinks like Paul Mick Iced Tea. That's the only one I remember. That'd be mine.
Great. Alec, what do you think? Which of Homer's jobs would you want to have and why?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, there's like 700 episodes, so he's had about 500 jobs.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm torn. I have two that jump to mind. I think I'm going to go with the second one. The first one was Mr. Plow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You get to be by yourself, solitary, driving your snowplow around, not have to deal with anybody while you're working all day. That sounds tremendous.
It does sound pretty nice.
But I think I'd more lean towards being I don't know what you'd call it when he messed up the grill and became an abstract artist.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather just do that and open up fire hydrants and let loose all the animals from the zoo and have Jasper Johns drive by and steal all my paintings.
Yeah.
But if you get to be Mr. Plow, you get a jacket that's irresistible to the ladies.
That is true. And a catchy jingle.
That's right. Yeah.
And I mean, you get the
now
the
I'm going to go. With, I'm going to go.
Gratifying.
I'm going to be
real.
The artist.
Right on. Yeah. Because Mr. Plow, you get the satisfaction of doing like work that has a completion point, and therefore you get to feel like you did a thing. I mean, for me, I kind of lean toward astronaut. I think that would be fun, I've always wanted to go to space anyway. But I think I'd probably have to take the sanitation head job because you know the benefits on that are fucking slick.
Yeah, that was
the garbage man can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The garbage man can, Marge.
He spent their entire budget in a week.
These men can't work for free. No!
That's the episode where they move the whole town 2 miles down the road.
Yeah. Because there's just garbage popping out of the cups on the golf course.
The Indians stay on the side of the road and they throw like a can and a tear comes down.
And he's like, don't
turn around.
I told you not to look around.
great job. I'm going to give each of you 1 point on that opening question. And now it's time for round one. TJ,
that's me.
Do you have a vague idea about Jody Price?
Jody Price. Oh my God. It's Vincent Price's grandson, and he helps if you're missing any feet or actually any, if you, this is what I love this one. If you're missing, so Lisa and Marge were home by themselves. And they found this craft kit that was Vincent Price's like excellent like art project. I can't remember. I'm sure it had a funnier name. I can't remember, but it was like an egg decorating thing. and you made the egg kind of look like a Mr. Potato Head. But it didn't have they painted it and it looked awesome, but they didn't have the plastic feet to attach to it. And Marge couldn't believe that Vincent Price would put his name on such a shoddy product. Oh, I know why they were home by themselves. I couldn't think of it for a second. It's because Bart and Homer were at the Super Bowl what's his name? Fred Willard was the guy that got him the tickets. Their tickets were printed on some form of cracker, and there was no team named the Spunkos. That's one of my favorite. I love that episode.
Yeah, and they do the mouth covering. They say, the Denver Broncos.
The Denver Broncos.
Atlanta Falcons.
I hope President Clinton and his wife, Hillary. That's a great fit. But yeah, so Jody, they call the hotline, even though the box is from like 1971 or something. And then it's Vincent Price. He's like, you thought the tomb could hold. I can't do a good Vincent Price, which is a shame because I love the guy. But, you know, so they call the refund line. And then at the end of the episode, Vincent Price shows up. You never see him. You just hear his voice. And he can't operate the clutch. Like, he's like, this infernal clutch. I know about Jody. Because also, Jody is just the funniest name. Like, that's a great comedy name. I don't know why. It's just funny. Like, my grandson, Jody.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's funny. It's just funny.
Right,
like,
on.
Walla Walla.
Cucamonga. Keokuk. Seattle.
Seattle.
So, yeah, Alec, anything to add about Jody Price?
Oh, my God. I don't know how I could add to that soliloquy.
Sorry. I'm sorry. It's one of my favorites.
If you know the name of the kit, the egg kit,
I don't know that one.
Do that, or anything else around that episode is fine.
No, that's one of the episodes that me personally, I realized like halfway through that I had actually seen it before, even though it's probably after I stopped watching. But just like most of the Simpsons episodes from the earlier seasons, it's pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't add anything about Jody Price, though.
Okay. Cool. Jaden, anything you can add about Jody Price or that episode?
Yeah. Because I really analyze the voices often, naturally. He was played by Caston Lynetta. We don't see him, but I think we hear him. Yeah. And the egg kit was called Vincent Price's Egg Magic.
Yes,
egg
that's right.
Magic. Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Very good.
And I guess that's a callback to him being Egghead on the Batman TV show.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. That's very good.
you should have told me that was excellent.
That's exactly correct.
I went past your expectations.
Okay. Here, side question. How much would all of us love if there was Eggman in the Batman with Pattinson, whose job is just to speak in egg puns?
It would be fantastic.
And send his goons out, and that's it.
I want like just one of. I mean, Batman has a lot of like stupid, like very goofy side villains that they never talk about. Like, I hope that like Condiment Man shows up or something, just for like an Easter egg. Just put him in there, or you know what I mean? Yeah. One of those guys.
Yeah, is like, I mean, is Clock King, is that a Batman villain?
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And somehow they made Clock King cool in the animated series. He's like, you want to talk about a dumb character, but he's that episode of the animated series is really good.
All right. Well, yeah, great job on Jody Price. TJ, I'm going to give you 2 points. I'm going to give Jaden one and Alec zero. Sorry.
That's right. Suck it, uh-huh. Alec.
Oh, This is what I'm expecting the whole time.
So, Alec,
I'm just here to have fun, y'all.
Yeah,
just here to make friends.
This is about having a fun time. You know, maybe we'll have a beer after.
There you go.
So Alec, do you have a vague idea about Simpsorama?
Simpsorama.
Simpsorama.
I think that was a DVD that was released in Great Britain that just had Simpsons dancing montages on it.
Jesus Christ. Really?
And I saw it on Reddit recently for sale for like five, whatever 5 cents is in Europe.
Five
I can't remember. 5 pence. Yeah. 5 pence. It was £1, 5 pence.
Same Cerama for a shilling.
Two shaves and a haircut, and you got a pence left over.
Yeah, and it was like they took basically every Simpsons like extended dance montage and put it on one long DVD, and it's like 4 hours long.
What the
But they didn't release it here. They only released it across the pond.
Huh.
Great. Yeah, Jaden, anything to add about Simpsorama?
Yes, I hate to be that person, but it's actually the name of an episode from season 26. Bart sneezes or puts something in. He blows his nose into a sandwich, and that causes his DNA to spread underground because they were putting that in a time capsule, and all his submission was a sandwich that he blew his nose into. And so that mutated over thousands of years, and the Futurama gang shows up in Springfield, not New York for whatever reason, and have to, I think, prevent that, or they team up with the Simpsons to stop the Bart mutants in the future is what I remember.
Man, yeah. those later seasons.
That
episode should have happened when Futurama was in its heyday and not canceled at that point.
Yeah.
In my opinion, but it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah, they were never really good at figuring out a way to just make things meet in the middle.
They never made their Flintstones meets the Jetsons magnum opus.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Very good, Jaden. TJ, anything you'd like to add about Simpsorama?
The only thing I have to add is a very bad joke. Simpsorama, I thought they called that OnlyFans. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I like it. That's tapping into the simp energy of our existence.
That is totally me, too. I am a certified, I'm proud to simp. You know, you raise the simp flag and I will salute it every time.
Wait, that guy just plain simped. Those were the simpiest bunch of simps I had ever did simp.
Homer!
Sorry, my damn Wiener kids are listening.
I certainly didn't know about the DVD, and I had no idea about the Futurama crossover. Though I do remember there's like a one-off earlier than that where Bender shows up, right? In one of the time travel episodes.
Bart to the Future from 2005. Yeah. He's in the car with them.
That's the one where Bart's like a stoner and Lisa's the president. That's the episode people like to reference because Lisa says President Trump in that episode, if memory serves. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, hey, wouldn't it be nice if all we were left with is a deficit?
Well, we're left with so many different kinds of deficits. Deficit in our soul and our, you know, public consciousness.
I thought you said defecation.
Yeah, that would be better. Great job. So, Alec, I'm going to give you 2 points because I like the lie you made up, and it proves that you listen to the show. Jaden, 2 points for being correct, and TJ, 1 point.
Oh, wait, Alec made that shit up?
Oh, yeah.
That's brilliant. I didn't know that. I should listen to the show.
Maybe you should listen to the show, nerd.
I should. I have a very busy schedule of, I don't know, yeah. Not doing anything.
You could listen to this show while you
media feeds. I know you're lying.
It was an incredible lie though. I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, no, it was really really
Alec
convincing.
Is a phenomenal liar.
Yeah,
Alec back in his 20s when we all used to drink like excessively and party all the time. Alec was the best person that you'd never tell was drunk. Be like, you all right? Be like, yeah, I'm good, and then just like like everywhere. It was great. Me,
yeah,
I would just.
That's,
you were great at that. You were a stonewall. Me, there's no way I'd lie out of my way out of anything, you know. Anyway, now that I know I can lie, oh boy.
Oh, yeah. it's time to play our first game. We're going to play a new game, which is it's titled Finish the Quote.
Oh,
so Jaden, we're going to start with you.
Damn it.
Quote is, let the bears pay the bear tax.
Oh,
the bears okay, I know which episode that's from.
Oh, can I steal this? Oh my god.
Yeah, are we allowed to steal?
Well, if Jaden passes, it'll move down the line. So yeah, Jaden, it's up to you if you want to pass or if you want to take a shot at it.
I remember now. Yeah. Homer says it's a Homer line, right?
Yes. I'll give you that, sure.
All right. Homer says, let the bear play the bear tax. And then I think Lisa says, that's the homeowner tax.
Yeah.
And Homer says,
no.
You missed a line.
You did. You skipped. You were close. You did. I mean, that, yeah, that is.
You're really, you're like 90% there.
You're right there.
Yeah.
There's something just, in between that.
Just dumb it down a shade. Like, yeah, that's the best way. That's the best clue I can
give
you.
You got to channel Homer here. Let the bears pay the bear tax.
And I'll pay the people tax.
What does he say? God damn it. Boy, I got to watch that episode again now.
It's a great episode, especially with the anti-bear plane that shows
up. Yeah, the stealth bomber.
That's the immigrant episode. That's very
it is.
Yeah. It's very prescient for our times.
Oh yeah. It remains.
I remember now. It's okay. The Homer tax.
That's
yes.
Right.
Yeah. Very good.
Bears pay the bear tax. I pay the Homer tax. That's the homeowner tax.
That's homeowner tax. That's right. Yes.
Yep. And then Lisa's like, what if I told you this rocks keeps away tigers? I don't see any tigers around here. Do you? Lisa,
I'd like to buy
that rock.
Still one of the best.
I love how like his voice changes to like very serious when he says it. He's like, Lisa, I'd like to buy that rock.
All right, TJ, you're up.
Oh, God. I'm going to get a hard one.
Here's the beginning of your quote.
Mm-hmm.
Arr. What do you think, Smithers?
What the fuck?
Arr?
Another R?
Yeah, so it's arg, and then Mr. Burns says, what do you think, Smithers?
I'm going to also say arg. He's going to just say arg. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know this one. Wait, I'm not supposed to say that. I'm supposed to lie. Arg. I emphatically say arg.
Okay. Alec, do you know?
No, I don't know. I keep drawing back to that they're all zombies or something, like the Republican headquarters, and they're all just saying arg because they're all brainless. But okay. I can't remember what Smithers says.
Jaden, do you know?
Yeah, I think women and semen don't mix, sir.
Oh, that's we all know that episode. Ah, shit. Yeah, yeah,
very good.
Alex, right? Alec was right. It came from the Republican headquarters with Hibbard, Dracula, Rainier Wolfcastle.
That's right.
And Quimby, maybe? No, Quimby's. Well,
he's a Democrat.
This one is from the Treehouse of Horror when they do the King Homer, so the King Kong parody.
And
Burns wants to bring Marge onto the boat.
So Alec wasn't right.
And says something about the crude and uncouth sailors. And then they cut to the sailors just saying "ar" back and forth to each other. And then Smithers says women and semen don't mix. So Jaden, you're getting a point for knowing that. And Alec, you get a crack at the final one. So it's the quote is, we weren't satisfied with the other vegetarian meals on the market. Finish that quote.
Man, I know the episode.
I know it.
You don't make friends with salad? No. I don't know. That's a good guess.
Speaking of Paul McIce Tea, it's his wife that says the line.
Right? Jaden, do you know?
I know which scene it is because, Paul and... his wife Linda, were on the roof.
I think.
Yeah, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Crap. Damn it. No.
Okay, TJ, you know it.
Yeah, you'd be surprised when you found a big piece of pork in there.
Yeah.
I think I might have gotten it a little wrong.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how often you'd find a big hunk of pork in
a big hunk of pork in there, and then Lisa's like,
but
was that who that says it, or who says it?
No, Linda says that.
Linda McCartney says it, yeah.
It's like, because it's like, the way the line is delivered is like a really fucking weird, like, it's almost like a commercial. Like, it's like, oh, they're big conservationists and they're vegetarians, and that's when they're like, we weren't happy with the current vegetarian. It's like a very odd thing.
Yeah.
And then you find out Apu was the fifth Beatle.
Yeah, sure you were.
Sure you were, Apu.
All right. Well, great work. So, yeah, 1 point for Jaden, 1 point for TJ on finish the quote. And now we're going to hop into round number three. So, Alec, do you have a vague idea about Mother Shaboo-Boo?
Mother Shaboo-Boo? Man, I am out of my element. Mother Shaboo-Boo was yet another name that Homer's real mother went by when she was on the run from the law.
Okay, that's a good guess. All right, Jaden, Mother Shaboo-Boo.
That was Homer's. That's the name of Homer's cousin, who was formerly Frank.
That is correct.
Yeah.
TJ, anything to add?
No, I'm trying to think of like the context of that joke. I remember the joke because it's weird. It's one of those jokes that like it looks like it was kind of 80-yard, and they were originally had a different joke, I guess, that didn't work. Because like if you watch the animation, the way he says "Mother Shaboo-boo," it just doesn't look right. But I don't remember. I don't even remember why he brought up that cousin or whatever. Like, I don't remember the context of that joke. And it wasn't my first impulse where Homer was trying to make a Jesus metaphor to the kids. And then he's like, you know who I'm talking about, Marge. You drove that blue car. No, I forget what Mother Shaboo-boo episode, what that was from, but that's a good one. So yeah, no, I don't have anything to add.
Okay. Yeah, this was a.
I'm not clever enough on my feet to come up with a very intricate lie like Alec.
That's all right. You vamped for a while, which I'll give you.
What I do.
Yeah. So this is from Lisa's first word, and so Marge. So basically, Homer proposes that Bart just sleep in. They want to stay in the same apartment that they can afford.
Oh, won't that warp him?
Yeah. Homer says he can sleep with us until we're 21.
Damn it. That's right.
Homer says my cousin Frank did it, and he's just fine. Marge says you don't have a cousin Frank. Then Homer says he became Francine in 76. Then he joined that cult. I think his name is Mother Shaboo-boo now.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good joke. It's a solid joke.
So, yeah, great job. Jaden, 2 points. 1 point for Alec and TJ. And Jaden, do you have a vague idea about Non-Threatening Boys magazine?
God. Oh, man.
crap. Which episode was this from? Was this something that Lisa read? Or... That was from the episode where she's, I think that was the one where Homer and Bart do a Big Brother thing, and then the subplot was Lisa on the phone with the Corey Hotline, and she gets it from that magazine. Is that right?
Yep, it is the Corey Hotline one. Absolutely.
I don't think it's in that Big Brother episode, though. I think it's
a different one.
You got the sub story right, but I don't think it's in that episode. I can't remember what episode it is in.
Yeah, it is a different episode than that, than the Big Brother.
With Pepsi.
Yeah. Peppy.
Do you have him in blonde?
Yeah. I don't know why I thought that was the B plot to that episode, but
I do that all the time. I can always remember plots, but I can't remember where they fit into the larger episode sometimes.
TJ, anything you can add about Non-Threatening Boys magazine?
Well, I can tell you that I wish it was a real magazine. But no, I can also tell you that I'd hoped if I was Corey, Nate, and you were calling me, I'd tell you that I hope we could get married someday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd also tell you words that rhymed with Corey. Story, glory, Antigory, Montessori.
Montessori is my favorite one because that's such an at least at the time it was such an absurd and obscure word
also has like a really hard time saying it, which is funny. Like I don't know, it's like it's funny that he's like struggling through saying it. I guess it's worth pointing out that Lisa like is addicted to calling number, and at one point, like, one of my favorite parts of that episode is when Lisa Marge, it's one of those great episodes where like Marge is like, if you can get through a whole night, then you've beaten it. And Lisa is just like, she's manic, she can't deal with it. Lisa's got one of those like rotary, or Maggie, excuse me, he's got one of those like rotary baby phones, and it's just like, and it's a great piece of like filmmaking because it gets closer and closer to the dial thing, and she's just like, can you stop it? She freaks out. And then eventually she does. Like, Marge thinks that it's a great scene. It's one of those like great sweet Simpsons scenes because Lisa like runs up and she's got the phone in her room, and Marge is like, oh, you couldn't do it. But then you hear like at the tone the time will be or whatever, and it's like, oh, she made it. It's great. I love that shit. I love the sentimental stuff because I'm a big softie.
Is that not from the same episode?
That is that one.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's, the Non-Threatening Boys magazine comes up there. And it harkens back to a simpler time when you would actually call an operator number to find out what time it was.
Yeah, or if you're at your rich friend's house and you dial the 1-900 number because you're like a badass and you're like, hey, these people don't know.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's like, I'm gonna dial 1-900 boob and see what happens.
Yeah, there was plenty of high school hangouts that resulted in that.
I'm sure there's a lot of mad parents for me when I was like 12 years old when they got like $40 phone bills and I didn't even talk to them. I just kept them on hold and I thought it was funny. Just like, what the fuck? That TJ kid isn't coming over here anymore.
Alec, anything that you can add about Non-Threatening Boys magazine?
I'm not sure if I'm remembering The Simpsons or something else, but is there a cut scene where she's reading Non-Threatening Boys, then Nelson is reading like Threatening Boys?
Yes. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And definitely. Also, there's too many Corys to keep track of.
Yeah, when you Google it on the Simpsons Wiki, the cover of the Non-Threatening Boys magazine issue doesn't have a Corey on it. It's got a picture of a guy and it says Timmy Tim and his grandma is the cover story, which I can't even begin to think about what might be inside there. So yeah, great work. 1 point each. Y'all did excellent on that.
Thank you.
And right. And now it's time for our second game. It's time for the Thunderdome.
Oh, shit.
And this week in the Thunderdome, you will each have to decide who wins in an epic all-star lineup monkey knife fight between Furious George and Mojo, who everybody's praying for. TJ, let's start with you. Who wins, Furious George or Mojo?
Well, I mean, this is a no-brainer for me. Furious George is he was, you know, born to fight. He's not pretty no more because he's in the monkey knife fight. Whereas Mojo, because Homer ravaged him with just the gluttonous habits that he had, Mojo was basically dying when Homer gave him back.
Yeah.
But he didn't get eaten by Grandpa, which was his fate. It was originally going to be his fate.
Yeah. I can't wait to eat that monkey.
So I got to give the edge to Furious George. Also, just a sidebar, that monkey knife fight is a great meme template. I've seen it used a lot of different times where it's, you know, this faction, this faction, this faction, this faction, and then the two monkeys fighting. Like, I've seen that meme used outside of like Simpson stuff. Like, it's a good template for a meme. But yeah, I'm gonna give the nod to Furious George. It's also a great name. I mean, Curious, Furious. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
It's really good.
All right, Alec, who's winning in the Thunderdome?
Oh, I'm gonna take Mojo. I'm a sucker for an underdog. Plus, he's been to like the brink and back. He's like looked death in the eyes.
That's a good point.
Like Homer had him like on life support, and if he came back from that, he's. I imagine him kind of being like a Rickety Cricket from It's Always Sunny. He's just like, he's seen it all. He's done it all. He's looked death in the face, stared it down, and he might not be in the best shape, and he might not take care of himself at all. But he'll do whatever it takes to keep on surviving.
And he's been in several dog orgies.
It's a little more appropriate for Mojo.
Well, and yeah, to your point, slightly. Like Mojo acknowledged that he hit rock bottom because he said, pray for me. Like he knows that he's got to get out of this hole. So yeah, very good. Very good. I like that. Jaden, what do you think?
I'm going to have to go with Furious George because Mojo, we don't see him recover as indicated. We see him on the doorstep saying, pray for Mojo, and it doesn't look like he's going to make it through the night. Furious George looks like he has some pep in his step. You know, he's obviously very capable with the knife. So I don't know what Mojo's capable of, but Furious has clearly got the upper hand there. Or all foot, right. Or whatever he's using.
We need one of those, like, UFC-style, like, tail of the tapes with, like, the two of them. It's like, yeah, Mojo's skills include stealing donuts and making orange juice.
We need to see, like, a simulation of it, like, in...
Oh, yeah.
Which Rocky Balboa?
That was in Balboa, when, yeah.
when he fought Mason the Lion Dixon in a video game, and that made him decide to come and actually box again.
Yeah, what a stupid plot.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie's
it's
great.
It's a good movie, but that plot is stupid.
Oh, wow. His stats are only 87. I could beat him.
Like, oh, shit. It's like, yeah. I beat him in Knockout Kings. It's time to go fight again.
Yeah, I mean, the correct answer obviously was Mojo. He has technological what? Ability. Like, he can operate a computer to communicate.
How's that going to help George you in a fight? He's going to get stabbed. Nerds get stabbed, bro. Like, trust me.
He's going to pull some cool-ass Donatello shit. He's gonna bring in that guy with the glasses from the Monkey Lending Institution, suit him up with robot armor. So yeah, I'm giving it to Alec. 4 points for Alec and 2 points for Jaden and TJ.
Do you think that Mojo or Furious George were related to any of the monkeys that were at 100 typewriters trying to write the greatest American novel?
You know what? I think so.
It was the best of times. It was the blurst of times.
The blurst of times!
Also, since we know that Mr. Burns likes to make animals into clothes, all of those monkeys were probably turned into, like, vests.
They're all vests. I would assume that Furious George was the child of one of those writer monkeys, because if anything about the history of dedicated writers teaches me is that their children are always abused and then become violent.
You know what's funny? Having said that, I think we just wrote an episode like 33 pitch for the show. Like, the son of Mojo comes back and has revenge on Homer, and you find out, like, all that stuff. I don't know.
It would be funnier than the Frank Grimes' kid episode returns.
Let's do it.
Great Louse Detective.
Oh my God, that was so bad. Yeah. Let's
bring back some monkeys.
For some reason, they were on stilts in that episode, I remember.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Because there was like Cirque du Soleil in town or something.
That's right.
So yeah, great work on that. As I said, Alec 4 points, 2 points for Jaden and TJ. And now, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing, and the only thing that's French about it is the name. So, guys, technically, according to the Itchy and Scratchy, the movie episode, Bart Simpson will become Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in 2033. Ooh. What I want each of you to tell me is what kind of court he's going to be known for. So, Alec, let's start with you. What kind of court does Bart Simpson provide over?
Jeez. I don't know very many courts.
I mean, you can kind of just talk about, like, the sort of stuff. Like, what do you think his interpretation of law would be like? That's probably better.
I think he'll run a very, 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 very liberal court. He'll fall on the side of the angels.
Yeah. All right.
Also, I could see him presiding over a basketball court at the same time.
Oh, that would be
cool. In those episodes where he goes into the future, he looks pretty tall.
Maybe he can dunk.
He could be Chief Justice and like the forward for the Pistons. That'd be pretty rad.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't say Wizards. That would make a lot more sense.
Like nobody can try to bribe him or pay him off because he already makes way more money dunking basketballs for a living.
I think we ruled that
Supreme Court.
I think we stumbled on another pitch for a movie right there.
And possibly a pitch to save our democracy. Everybody who works in government also just needs to play professional sports at the same time so that they can't be bought off.
Never mind. I was going to say just make all the professional athletes politicians, but never mind. That's probably a bad idea.
Probably a bad idea.
I think there's way more comedy value in watching Nancy Pelosi try to cross somebody over.
Nancy Pelosi's out here
crossing Mitch McConnell over, and
Nancy Pelosi's out here breaking ankles.
Great, Jaden. What kind of court do you think Chief Justice Bart Simpson presides over?
I think he would probably be one of the more anti-religious justices, or I shouldn't say anti-religious, but more of a non-religious judge. He'd probably implement no prayer in schools or anything like that. Would probably be more supportive of the schools, surprisingly, because of how crappy Springfield Elementary was, and would want to help them out in some capacity. I didn't know that there was types of courts that the justices presided over, but he
probably have a turn of heart sometime around his college years and want to dedicate himself to criminal justice, maybe. I don't know. I'm just rambling here. But, I think he would be on the liberal minority of the court.
I can only assume that at some point in college he either gets Milhouse arrested or killed doing some sort of prank.
He drowns Milhouse in Chappaquiddick.
Oh shit!
Chappaquiddick. Alec, you say it.
Chappaquiddick.
Chappaquiddick.
Chappaquiddick. great, Jaden. TJ. What kind of court is Chief Justice Bart Simpson presiding over?
He overturns Roe v. Wade. No, I'm just kidding. that was awful.
Damn.
Well, first of all, he legalizes marijuana. So my thought process goes like this. I think that like the multiverse theory. You know what I mean? In The Simpsons, you know, we've gotten a lot of predictive futures for Bart. You know what I mean? Different outcomes. So my idea is that all those facets of his personality still exist in Bart Prime. Okay. So I think he's going to express the various aspects of his personality and his future past selves in his current self. So I think he's going to be pro sex worker rights because he was Bang Bang Bart.
Sure.
I think he's going to increase the amount of zoning privileges for people because he was a construction guy and a demolition guy. So he's gonna lax OSHA rulings so people can just blow up fucking bridges and shit. He's gonna legalize marijuana because, again, we talked about earlier when he was like the stoner, like the guy with that awful like ponytail thing that they drew on him, which it always bothers me, that design.
Wasn't it Jimmy Buffett cover band that he was in too?
With Ralph.
With Ralph.
Yeah.
They were behind like the laser grid. People throw bottles at him.
Yeah. I'm missing one career.
Oh, that's one of the best episodes. Like, I can't believe Smell You Later replaced Vi.
Yeah. Also, he's going to be a staunch proponent of family values because he was raised in such a chaotic home. So like he's going to crack down on abusive fathers because his father strangled him for most of his life.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, he was an angry dad.
Yeah. Also one of the funnier later episodes of The Simpsons when they made that angry dad series or whatever, yeah. He's going to be many things, but I think we're multifaceted people, and we can just edit out that Roe v. Wade joke I made. That'd be great.
You could replace that with he'd probably strike down on eminent domain after Mr. Burns
that's a good one.
Big sun cover.
Yeah, and also, the dome. Yeah. Well, not only that,
and Sideshow Bob wanted to pave over their house for the highway. Right. Yeah. The Matlock Expressway.
Get your dang house out of the way, son.
So there's the dome, the sun cover, and the highway.
Yeah, the dome.
That effect part.
Forgot about the dome.
Did it bother anybody else that when Sideshow Bob drives around saying who he won't kill, he mentions all of the Simpsons but Bart, he mentions Ned and Maude Flanders, but doesn't mention the Flanders kids? And Ned or Maude are concerned at that at all.
Everybody wants to murder Rod and Todd.
Well, I mean extra Todd's
It's
just your source of reliable.
Great work. Yeah, TJ, your argument was so well reasoned. I'm gonna give you 4 points. Boom. And 2 points for Alec and Jaden. And that's right. that brings us, guys, we're heading into the final topic. TJ, you are ahead with 13
God
points.
Damn.
Jaden
right.
has 12 and Alec has 11.
Shit, yeah.
And Jaden, you're going to get the first crack at the final topic. Do you have a vague idea about Cecil Hampstead on Cecil Cecil?
Jesus. Oh, my God. okay, Cecil. I'm thinking that's freaking the brother of Sideshow Bob. Ah, my God, this is going to kill me. Can you repeat that?
It's Cecil Hampstead on Cecil Cecil.
Cecil Hampstead on Cecil Cecil. Why do I think that's a sandwich?
It does sound delicious. No, I would totally eat that.
Oh, my God. damn it, was that, was they, crap, okay, that was a character, wasn't it?
Might be.
All right, well, it was a character. I can't remember what episode he was in, but he shows up when Homer becomes an artist. I think it was like an art critic or something.
All right.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. TJ, Cecil, you know, Hampstead on Cecil Cecil.
You're, God damn it, dude. You're right. I was convinced it was Cecil, Sideshow Cecil, but it's not. You're right. It's the it was one of the artist freaks that was introduced in the fucking episode that, I'm sorry, I can curse, right? I've been cursing this whole
time. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, fuck yes. Curse your heart away.
Alec, yeah. It's the episode Alec mentioned earlier about abstract art. It's, it was, his friend was Kyoto or Kyoko, I believe. And, they were Homer's like, hangers on because he was the most dangerous artist on the scene, with his artwork. I remember that the I can't remember her name, her character's name, but the art vendor that like loved Homer that found his work, which was just like, it was just his grill encased in concrete, and he was dragging it behind his car, and then it came loose and then just destroyed her car. It just like drives away.
Yeah, it's like the end of Fast Five.
Yeah, it was voiced by, what's her name? Isabella Rossellini from Blue Velvet. That was the voice actress.
Very good.
Which I recognized her voice like right away, which is weird because I literally only know her from, I think I've only ever seen her in maybe two movies.
She's great in Death Becomes Her. That's a, I don't, you know, that's a fun her. Isabella Rossellini moment.
She plays Jake Gyllenhaal's mom in Enemy, which is a movie that I've grown to like. But anyway, yeah, other than that, that episode is a great critique on how stupid art is, because I'm also somebody that always rails against how stupid art is.
Somebody paid, I think, I can't remember what number it is, but somebody paid for a banana stuck to a wall. Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
A banana stuck to a wall.
Yeah, trust me.
Duct taped to a wall.
It's someone that spends right. a good chunk of his life trying to get better at my craft. When I see shit like that, or when I see people, I'm gonna make a lot of people mad at this, but when I see people do that goddamn splatter art where they just like pour shit onto a canvas, and then it's like, I'm an artist.
It's
now.
My feelings.
It's like, it's not. You're not an artist. Like, you just poured a cup of paint onto a fucking canvas. Like, do something else. Like, or you can do it. Like, if you're having fun, have fun. But like, don't call yourself an artist.
No, oh yeah.
The thing is, why do people pay for that?
Yeah. Well,
I'm not bitter, by the way.
No. Well, to back TJ up for the listener, like, TJ is a very talented illustrator.
Oh, no,
and,
stop.
No, you are though, and you're a great painter too. I mean, and I've had the I know Alex probably paid attention too, but like, you know, oh, yeah. I've had the pleasure of seeing your work develop over the years that we've been internet friends. And I'm just like, wow, you know, you're improving all the time, and it's a testament to practice and the fact that you really care about what you're drawing. So,
well, that's what I always say. I get a lot of people that are like, oh, you're so talented. And I'm like, talent doesn't exist. Like, I don't believe in talent. Like, it's all about putting in the work. Like, it's, I think any, honestly, and I could be wrong, but my philosophy is anybody, any sort of skill-based thing like art, playing guitar or playing piano, anything like that, it's just a matter of putting the time in. Like, yeah. I don't really believe in natural talent. I believe in work and work ethic. The problem is that getting over that hump where you just suck for, it could be years, and like until you gradually like get comfortable with what you're doing, that's the hard part. Like, I've been shitty on guitar for 20 years, but it's just like, I still have fun playing it. I still try to learn new things. But,
oh yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry, yeah, I hear you. One of my favorite quotes is Picasso's old quote, which is, inspiration exists, but it has to find you working.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You'll get somewhere, but you better be putting the time in. Yeah,
exactly. And it's always hard. It's never like, it's the thing. Like, so many people like look at stuff and they're like, oh, it's, you know, you don't really spend any time on this. It must be so easy for you. It's like, no, everything's hard. Yeah. Life is hard. Like, it always is hard.
Yeah. Alec, Cecil Hampstead on Cecil Cecil. Anything to add?
No, I agree with TJ. Life is hard.
Yeah, very good.
Oh, I have one. There's a great. No, go ahead, Alec. I'm sorry.
I don't really. I don't. I mean, what more could I possibly add? Except, I don't think it's his boat, but It's the whoever the art dealer's name is. It's her boat that Jasper John stole and then started stealing all the paintings.
Alex, do you remember the name of Homer's art pieces? Because I vaguely remember them. They were.
I don't, but I remember one of them was like a decrepit birdhouse that had a bird in it that couldn't escape, that like tweeted once and then died.
And then Mo was like, I'll give you $5 for the bird. And then the bird's dead.
No, that's a good episode though. Like I don't have anything to add about Cecil.
I think Cecil has a line. I could be wrong. It might be one of the other art losers, but they're like, when they're done with Homer, when Homer's star has fallen, they're like, let's hurry up and catch the heroin phase or the heroin fad or something.
Yeah, I remember that. I can't remember if he says it or not, but yeah, great job. I'm going to give you each 1 point. You all had a good idea about this. Cecil Hampstead on Cecil appears in Mom and Pop Art, which is the one that we're referencing. Yeah, right. He also appears in Exit Through the Quickie Mart, which I guess is
they made an Exit Through the Gift Shop reference. That's pretty good.
Yeah. What's the plot of that?
Bart becomes a graffiti artist after Homer punishes him for buying Marge a rabbit that cuts through the phone line and ruins her birthday surprise.
Yeah, it has Shepard Fairey as a guest on the episode.
Because she was supposed to get a phone call from...
That's right.
Some famous TV chef. And they skipped going out to dinner for her so she could get the phone call. And then she got nothing.
Yeah. Also, sidebar, Exit Through the Gift Shop is like one of the greatest documentaries ever made. Highly recommend it. Yeah, phenomenal. So good.
Cecil was also... So he was one of the new friends of Homer's, along with Kyoto and Gunter.
Gunter.
Of course, it was
a Japanese woman and a German man. That is so perfect. Of course it was a German.
And Gunter appears in a bunch of episodes, apparently, which is weird.
Hans and
Gunter
Fritz.
Is the one who says, to be honest, we're adrift in a sea of decadent luxury and meaningless sex.
Does Mo say something like,
yeah, Mo,
where
can I find that sea? Guys, this has been great. This is the toughest part of every episode. It's the part where, you know, some of you were
Nate
losers.
Nate has to kill one of us.
Two of you were losers, but not in any sort of legally binding sense. And one of you is a winner, and this week the winner is TJ. TJ, congratulations. You have won with 14 points.
That's the final countdown.
Final countdown just for you.
Final countdown.
I don't know. It was the first song that popped into my head. It sounds victorious.
I mean, you had like Eye of the Tiger, We Are the Champions. Like
I stick by my
So TJ, anything that you'd like to plug, anything you want the listeners to know about, to do, to think about?
I got a raffle. There's like I'm doing this raffle thing for the auto bar, because the auto bar in Baltimore is a club bar venue type place that I love. It's been around for a long time. Obviously, because of COVID, they've hit a lot of hard times. So I don't know when this is going to air, but even if just look up the auto bar, they have a GoFundMe still going on. I'm not exactly sure. I know when I'm supposed to turn in the raffle, but I don't know when they're actually officially doing it. But I think it's at the end of September. Just Google the auto bar. You'll find it.
Yeah, I'll find the GoFundMe link and I can post it in the show.
Yeah, I'm going to have
auto bar. O-T-T-O.
Yeah, O-T-T-O.
Not auto,
like Otto's jacket.
Yeah,
yeah,
not like
auto.
Car.
Like that auto.
Smells like Otto's jacket.
But I'm going to have a painting up there and so all that shit. Right, you can find me on Instagram. You can look at all my stupid drawings and paintings, and commissions are always open. And of course, molehallradio.com if you want to hear me and Alec yell and scream some more. Alec and I are on Movie the Podcast. We're currently in September, which is one of our stupidest months. I know I said this last time, but if you're not familiar with our podcast, it's a movie podcast because nobody had any movie podcasts. We figured it was a good time to start one.
a real clear like market opening that zero white guys were talking about film.
Yeah, I mean if you're over 200 pounds and you're almost 40, you have to start a podcast or you'll literally be executed by the state.
Oh, but, I guess I'm starting a podcast this week.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, our show is theme-based. That's how we keep things fresh on our show. So every month has a theme. This month is September. So this is one of our looser months where literally our picks have to do with a movie that either stars a Tim, directed by a Tim, a character's name is Tim. It's very, very loose. Or if Tim happens to be in the title. We just watched, what was it called, Alec?
Oh, Big Trouble.
Big Trouble. Alec hated it. I loved it.
Hated it.
Little China?
No, just Big Trouble. It's a
Tim Allen movie.
Yeah, it came out in the early 2000s. It involves a plane hijacking. It was supposed to come out like the week before 9/11 and then got like shit canned for like months.
Oh, boy.
And then you watched it and you're like, well, I guess there's a reason they shit canned it, because it really wasn't that. I mean, I thought it was funny, but it certainly wasn't something that was going to make millions of dollars. But anyway, that's all. Thank you very much again, Nate. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, of course. Yeah, everybody should check out moleholeradio.com. And your Instagram is at El Topo XL.
Yeah, it's El Topo XL. That stupid XL tag. You can thank Wipeout XL for that. I've been using it for fucking 20 years now. Like, I just always think it sounded cool to put XL at the end of your fucking name. Somebody was like extra large, and I was like, oh, I guess it does mean that. It never dawned on me. I was like, no, I'm not trying to make some kind of dick joke. Trust me.
Side
of
that, you're into spreadsheets.
It'd be XXS if I was trying to make a dick joke.
Do you want the lengthening or a widening?
Do you hear me complaining about the breasts?
Well, I am bald and important.
Alec, do you have anything that you'd like to plug?
So I'm on a podcast that reviews movies called Movie the Podcast.
I heard
on
that
the
show.
Molehole Radio
that
Network.
Sounds really familiar.
It's real bad. Like, we have like tens of listeners somehow.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
listen. I listen every single week.
See?
Like, I don't understand. I always assumed it was just us. We were the only ones that got any hits from us listening to it after it was posted, but.
Well, not Gogs. Gogs doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to it. Wait, he listens to it when he's on it, but yeah, he doesn't listen to it when he's not on it. Which, see, like, I used to not listen when I was on it because I already knew it.
Yeah.
But when I missed it, I'd listen to see what happened. But no, sure. Gogs only wants to hear himself. He doesn't want to hear what happens.
I gotta check my levels.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the only episode of Movie the Podcast that I have not liked was ironically, I think the one where you guys talked about this show the most because there was so much technical difficulties. I was like, oh man,
yeah.
This is just hard.
Oh,
yeah. It was just kind of hard to listen to for
that
the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, we were all having problems with our internet that week. It was tough. Yeah.
No, that's the hard thing about
that. Sorry about that, Nate. We'll talk about it again.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was really heartwarmed that you guys talked about it so much.
Oh, of course.
It was very, very kind of you to
well,
spend time on
I mean,
it.
Did you listen to what we were saying about other stuff? Like, your listeners might have heard it, but like, you know what? This guy likes some fucking weirdos.
Yeah.
No, but that's the beauty of it.
I can't remember what episode it was. What was that? The Hunted?
It was like, no, it was like two or three
was
episodes
it Men in Black
ago.
2? I don't know.
I can't remember.
I think it was only like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't
I remember
long
the
ago.
Audio was very rough. It
yeah, we had to stop and restart like halfway through.
It cleaned up after a while. Like Nate said, after about 20 minutes, it's fine. But that first like 20 minutes is rough.
Yeah, well, instead of hosting from upstairs on the other end of the house from the router, I'm now using the iPad right next to the router. So hopefully that cleans it up.
Yeah, you've been fine.
The only other thing I'm going to plug the Instagram that my wife just started for us, because we just bought an RV and a truck that we are rehabbing.
Ooh, nice.
So we can drive around the country. It's Adventuring Earths on Instagram, at Adventuring Earths.
Great.
All and right. All kinds of destroying stuff will be happening soon.
Living that hashtag van life.
Yeah.
You're going to go show up at Sean's door in Florida at like 2 a.m. and be like, let us into your home.
We're trying to keep Florida off the list for obvious reasons.
For the
honestly,
disease,
if Sean
America's weighing of it.
If Sean ended up anywhere else, I'd be happy to. But, I mean, it's Florida. Come on.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go there.
The only thing that wants to go there is coronavirus.
Yeah. Boy, howdy. Great. Jaden, anything you'd like to plug?
Well, by the time this one comes out, I'll have had the Krusty the Clown parody of Joker out. Recently did a parody of Pulp Fiction, as I mentioned earlier, as Carl
and Lenny.
I'm also a puppeteer, and I'm going to be doing my annual Halloween thing. It's sort of like Treehouse of Horror, where it's three different installments and a half-hour thing on YouTube.
Nice.
On my channel, The Sneeple. That's right. S-N-E-O-P-L-E. So that'll be something I'll be working on soon. And for the most part, you know, you could just check me out on YouTube or Instagram or Twitter. It's all the same name, just Jaden LeBron, and you'll find me because I'm the only person with this name. And there'll be some impressions of Simpsons and maybe King of the Hill coming up soon as well.
I'm going to change my name to Jaden LeBron.
I was going to say, I think the four of us might be the only group of people who can say that we probably all are the only people who have our names, but maybe there's another Timothy Stamba out there.
There is. It's funny you mentioned that. When I
I found him a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, also
I Googled.
Also, growing up, there was like a Stamball family that's like apparently pretty wealthy. They're all down the East Coast, like in, and they have like car dealerships. And I used to always get that, like, "Are you related to those people?" I was like, "No. If they have any money, they're not related to me. Trust me, I'm the flower that grew out of the pot of dirt. Like, nobody has money in my family. I think I'm the wealthiest person in my family, and that is horrific to think about."
Got that art dynasty building. Well, yeah, guys, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate it. Congratulations again, TJ. You evened up the score between you and Jaden.
That's right.
So.
This is if this was a wrestling match, then we need a third match. Yeah, we got it. Yeah. This is our Bret Hart Shawn Michaels battle going on here. So.
Yeah, at this point, Jaden, you need a second so that TJ and Alec can tag team on you next time.
Ooh.
And you need something else.
We're getting kinky in here now.
I was going to say Alec is like Owen, but I didn't want to say that because then, I mean, Alec would fall from the sky and die.
I mean, let's be honest. If I'm any heart, I'm Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Yes.
Absolutely. I got the same build as him.
I need to grow out that goatee, though, like he did. Mm. That'd be sweet.
So, yeah, thank you guys again. Listeners, if you like this show, please do us a solid and go on to iTunes, give us a 5-star review, subscribe, review us, all that jazz. Do it wherever you listen. That would be helpful. You can follow us on the social media on Facebook at the A Vague Idea podcast online group thing, which is a group you can join, and you can play Pommu Pomme de Terre online pretty much every week. It's real exciting. I also post photos of things, and people love photos on the internet, right? I hear that's popular.
Big thing.
I definitely think that everybody should check out Jaden's stuff, check out the Sneeple. It's really, you've got some really cool content on there. I spent about half an hour checking it out after last show. I'm always just really impressed, and I gotta say, like, it is a blessing to have a creative group of people. The three of you are all very creative. It's nice to be in a creative community where it's like, you know, people are making things that aren't just about tearing other people's shit down, which I think is really valuable. and before
maybe the podcast kind of is sometimes.
you also found all of the good in a movie like Cruisin' that is constantly shredded by people.
It's not only like, did we find all the good in it, I'd say that was one of our, like, we all love that movie. Like, if anything, we were all upset that we'll never see, like, the true version of that movie because it's, like, been destroyed. Like, the film apparently doesn't exist. But, yeah, we love that movie.
Yeah,
that month,
but I mean, that's
that
the
month
thing.
Was full of bangers.
It's really all about, like, the internet is flooded with people whose only purpose is to troll other people. And yeah.
I wouldn't recommend listening to our podcast. I just going to put that out there.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't like it, but, you know. You know, for what it's worth, he would probably slow it down to half speed and think it was really amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, listeners, if you guys like the theme song to the show, you should check out Michael J. O'Connor's music. That's michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. And, you know, otherwise, let's continue to take care of each other. Let's get out there and vote. Please just vote. We gotta have some turnout. Yeah, vote Quimby at very least. Like, if you're not gonna If you're not going to pick somebody valid, pick Quimby. And then, yeah, Black Lives Matter, and let's survive to next year. What do you say? Sound like fun? So guys, we all had a vague idea about The Simpsons again, and that's a great thing because the devil is in the details. Bye-bye.
Bye, diddly eye.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, Ms. Shannon Page, and sometimes John Peros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.